all mine, of course, but it's, I'm here to talk about the increasing isolation of people, as shown by various studies. You can keep track of the bowel movements of 800 electronic friends with your hundreds of dollars iPhone, if you want to.
That must be an app I don't have.
Oh, look.
I thought I had most of them.
34 of my friends are going to the toilet at the same time. Yes. No, you can go to Portland Community Media and learn how to use this social media. They teach all of this, and you don't have to, you know, waste your hundreds of dollars. Now, with the economy and other factors adding to this isolation, cable access fills a gap. The small groups of pastors and imams and whatever that can't get. Am I done?
No, you. I'll let you finish.
Okay. Well, there's. I have here, an entire list of all the type of programming that gets helped by Portland Community Access or Portland Community Media, and the important thing is that we are being drawn together. We have a feeling of belonging when we look at the TV and we see ourselves on TV or we see our friends. And you don't, I mean, this sounds pretty minor, but we have to get a way to draw people together that are normally not associated with each other. And that happens big time at Portland Community Media. We need to put a lot of emphasis on that.
Thank you, sir. Can you, if you wouldn't mind, turn that into soup?
My notes?
Yeah, that'd be great. With all the other...
Very coherent, but...
That's all right. Okay. Thank you all very much.
We're also going to enter our catalog of programs.
Thank you very much.
We're only 20 years old, but we're still learning.
20 years, 700 programs. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Sue.
Next up are Doug White, Izzy Berlin, Casey Jarma, Tricia Snell, followed by C.C. Noel, Sue Quast, Jeff Gilbert, and John Dixon.
Good morning, Mr. White. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'd like to sit next to Izzy here.
Okay.
Hello. Thanks, Mayor Adams and the council. I'm Doug White, the executive director of the Hollywood Theater in Northeast Portland. And we've gotten multiple grants from MHCRC over the years, in addition to being a nonprofit art house movie theater and maintaining and improving the historic building. We also run education programs for youth, as well as support local filmmakers. Our signature program is Project Youth Doc. It's been going on for 8 years. It's actually happening right now at the theater. There's about 12 kids over there making documentaries over 4 weeks, and then we premiere them at the theater. So they get out into their community, interview people from the community, and learn about issues that affect them. What we've been able to do through MHCRC is get the equipment necessary. They're actually using HD cameras, as well as it's allowed us to expand what we're doing. We've just developed the PDX Teen Film Collective, which is a way for our students to stay engaged after they're done with the program. And this is a workforce development type thing. We just had partnered with Providence, and the kids created a cancer awareness video. And I'm going to have Izzy, one of our students, tell you more about that.
Hi. So I've been working with the Hollywood Theater for about 5 years. I was a student of PYD for 2 years, and I interned there for 3 years. And in that time, I've been able to see kids from all walks of life create wonderful films about issues they really care about, and they gain a lot of pride from exhibiting those films. I began the program when I was 12. I'm 18 now, and I'm interning with Field Recordings in East Portland, and I'm hoping to continue working in film in the future as well.
Congratulations, Mr. Jama.
Good morning, Council, and good morning, Mayor Adams. My name is Casey Jama. I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. 3 years ago, we were able to get a grant for Montour Cable Regulatory Commission, and as a small grassroots nonprofit organization, we recognize that using the media tools will advance our mission as well as our social inclusion for immigrant refugee community. We launched a program called Global Portland Voices. This project mainly has intended to train immigrant and refugee community members how to use media tools through trainings and also distribute through online as well as DVDs and also local cable televisions. This grant actually is able to help us only not only to provide these tools, but also to partner with other partners such as the Portland Community Media. And also, finally, before I guess I'm out, I want to quickly recognize a couple of people. I think Julie and Mary Beth, who are being here today, demonstrated to us that building a true partnership, it's incredibly important to our community. They have been dedicated staff members who support us, not only through the grants, but also help us to carry out our mission. And finally, I want to recognize Josh Eddings, who is our media director. Josh came aboard and helped us to volunteer for 2 years, his own free time. And those 2 years after he finished, he decided to continue to work with us and provide support and training for immigrant refugee community members. Without him, we would not have accomplished our task. Josh is a true hero of Portland.
Thank you, Mr. Jama. Thanks for all you do. Hi.
Hi, I'm Tricia Snell. I'm the executive director of Caldera. We're a Portland nonprofit that mentors underserved Portland kids through the arts from age 11 through early adulthood. The Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission has put cameras and computers and a variety of film equipment in the hands of our students, who are the most disadvantaged youth in Portland, through our Careers in Creative Technology project. In these projects, kids find their voices through films. They develop skills and ideas and goals for careers. And our work is designed to break the cycle of poverty that our kids are caught within. And I think maybe two quotes from my kids would be the most effective way of using my time. IDK, we have nicknames at Caldera, both staff and students. IDK said just a couple of months ago at a meeting of Caldera Kids that artists are cool weird, and that provided her with an alternative to the dangerous weird of the gangs that many of her cousins and her friends were involved in, and the drugs, the violence, the early pregnancies she was seeing in many of her friends. And so I think arts education through film, which is maybe the coolest of all cool for kids in terms of the media literacy of our kids, is an alternative that it provides a path, and the commission has supported our work with 3 major grants. We would not have our film and program without them. One other quote from C-Dub, he says, "I love the expression of feeling through digital filmmaking, photography, and music. These are so much a part of my soulful feeling, my soulful being." I'm sorry. So the commission plays an important role in those souls of these kids who need our support.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
The last 4, CC, Huley Knoll, Sue Quast, Jeff Gilbert, and John Dixon.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Certainly. I only have 1 minute. I'll try my best. I'm Cece Hughley-Noel. I'm executive director of Portland Community Media. And I'd like to thank the council, Mayor Adams, for really entertaining us today and letting us share our stories. We really appreciate having this opportunity to do so. You've heard a lot about the statistics that and what Portland Community Media does in support of the community to get their stories out. We're really proud to be partnering with many of the recipients of the Community Capital Access grants that have been awarded over the years. We provide the means to distribute the content that they deliver, and we also do a lot of training for the participants. We've worked closely with a number of groups. I won't go into detail with the list of them, since that will be included in our biannual activity report to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, which will be available to the public. But I would like to tell a couple of stories, because when we talk about impact, what we're really talking about is how does what we do change the lives of the people that we touch. And I've got, since I only have a few seconds left, please indulge me, but I'd like to tell a little story. One, it's about a group of Moroccan journalists who came to us through the World Affairs Council. They work in print media, television media, and online media, and they did a tour of our services, and they spoke with our staff, and they saw some representative programming that we do. And the one question that they had to ask was, what happens when someone who uses your services says something the government doesn't like? Do they take the programming off of the air? It's like, oh, no, they give us money to keep doing it. So that was my far impact story. The near impact story, which touched my heart recently, we were lucky to receive some funding through the BTOP funding through the federal government with One Economy to promote their digital connector program. 15 underserved youth went through the program during the school year, and they were doing a little summary testimony about the impact of the program in their lives. And I was in one of my program director's offices looking at the program, and a young man named Alex, who couldn't be here today because he actually got a job, good for him, has been participating in the program and also on our Thursday afternoon youth media club every single week. He's in our studios every single week. And he was saying in his video testimony, "I don't have a home. I don't have a family. I don't have a job." He does now. "I don't have school. I don't have anything but youth media club. And I feel important here." And that just is the reason why we're here, is to provide that hope, that power, that skill, and that capacity to be real members of our society and to have hope. So I appreciate it very much. I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate the commission's support, and I especially appreciate all of the subscribers to the cable system in Portland who help fund these wonderful programs. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your great leadership. Ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Sue Quast from Portland Community College, and we're just here to support the continuation. We've received a number of grants from MHCRC through the years, and we have a cable channel 27 feed, and it has allowed us to keep up with technology. It's allowed us to serve the various learning styles of our students, and whether it was distance learning or production, and so we just are here to say, please continue.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mayor and commissioners, thank you so much. My name is Jeff Gilbert. I'm the proud principal of Reynolds High School, largest school in the state of Oregon, way out on the far end of the county. And I know, Mayor, you've been
and there the city.
And the city, yeah. Absolutely. I'd invite the commissioners to come out and take a look. We're the largest. We're also the most diverse. 57 mm-hmm. countries represented, 47 languages, and exceptionally impoverished, 70% free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm here to thank you. Thank you for your support. The difference that the grants that we have are making the difference in our children's lives are remarkable. It's an exceptionally large school, and we've done a tremendous amount of turnaround in the last few years. But these are parts of the programs that help us make those turnaround. And one of the reasons why we wanted to pursue is because of media giving students a voice. A lot of times we find a lot of children very disconnected and disenfranchised from the voice that they have. Many of our children don't come from this country. Many of our children are very impoverished, and their parents do not have the opportunities or the skill sets to provide for them the way that their voice can matter in our world. And quite frankly, if your voice doesn't matter in the world, you don't feel like you have much of a say. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You've made a tremendous difference, and I'd invite you all to come out and take a look at the program, because the decisions you're making are making a difference in that future and in those children's lives. Thank you.
And I'm John Dixon. I'm also from Reynolds High School, one of the assistant principals out there. And I'm just going to tag on to what Mr. Gilbert said. The impact this has had in our school has been dramatic. We are in the process of building our own TV media station. Just yesterday, I had an opportunity to sit down with some other leaders from other districts in the area. Gresham and Barlow, for example, they have a science program. We're starting to develop our own science fair program. And the science fair program has been great for the high schools, but we want to share it more. So we're going to be able to use the money the Cable Regulatory Commission has given us and our TV production studio to videotape those science fairs, put them online, stream them, share them with our entire district and with all the outlying districts. So it's really making a difference, not only in kids learning how to do real skills and real things that will help them be successful in the future, but also sharing the wonderful things that our students are doing in East Multnomah County with each other and relying on each other for some successes. So.
Well, I thank you for words on the report, but I also want to take the opportunity to thank you, Ms. Principal, and your great team for doing such a great job at Reynolds High School. Having been there and been at, I think, most every high school in the city, you've got the most enthusiastic and the most energetic student body around, so thanks.
Go Raiders. Thank you, sir.
All right. Do you want to vote on this, or is this?
It is a report, so yes, move to accept the report.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to accept the report. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion to accept the report?
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Julie Omelchek and David Olson and the rest of the Office of Cable and Franchise Management for all their hard work. I'd also like to thank all the presenters who were here today and
the enthusiastic testimony we received from many of the beneficiaries of the cable technology grants. And I do want to also thank the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, Portland Community Media, and our own Bureau of Technology Services. And finally, I want to express appreciation to Comcast for their partnership, and we look forward to carrying this partnership through into our renewed cable franchise agreement later this year. Again, thanks to everybody involved. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I was privileged to be the commissioner in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management for over 2 years, and I greatly appreciated working with David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, and your entire team, and indeed with Cease Hoogly Noel and the Portland Community Media team. You're doing a wonderful job. And this is an opportunity for us to learn about the community benefit that the taxpayers' money that is tacked onto the franchise fees that you see on your cable bills, to show how that money is used so wisely to provide so many community benefits. And we do get a major contribution by Comcast, which we greatly appreciate and hope to continue. This is a win-win for public-private enterprises, showing how much these fees leverage the good in the community, particularly for underserved communities and those who otherwise would not have access to broadband and other services, and indeed to this cable access on television today. It's amazing to me how, when I'm out in the community, how many people say that they watch council proceedings on Channel 30, and it's a way for citizens to keep an eye on their government. So we appreciate that very much. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Commissioner Saltzman, David, Mary Beth, Cease, the whole team, great work. Great presentation. Thanks. Aye. So approved. We're going to move to item number 801.
Can I just raise a housekeeping matter?
Yeah, I think we are going to be an hour away from picking up with 820.
So I see some people that are here for emergency ordinance 824. And I'm just going to be conservative and guess that that probably won't come to us before noon. So if you're here on the 824, which has to do with the funding on homelessness, your people will be free to go to my office and use a phone, and
yep.
And then we'll bring that back later.
Watch TV, because I intend to beat Commissioner Fish's expectations on timing. All right. Sue, can you please read the title for presentation, short presentation? Time certain, item number 801.
Welcome, Mr. Hideki Kato, president of the Tokyo Foundation, and recognize the foundation's 8-year partnership with Portland State University to provide professional training for Japanese municipal government managers.
Well, President Kato, Mr. Kiesling, honored guests, we want to welcome you to the City Council. We are very grateful for the connections that the foundation has with our Portland State University, the best urban university in the United States, and especially the Center for Public Service. Mr. Kiesling, would you like to begin?
Very briefly, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Leonard, Fritz, Saltzman, and Fish, thank you very much for the chance to take just a few minutes to honor this very strong and continuing to grow partnership that we have at Portland State with Tokyo Foundation. I'm Phil Kiesling. I'm the director of the Center for Public Service, which is in the Hatfield School of Government. And it's my great honor to introduce President Kato, who just arrived from Japan, who's president of the Tokyo Foundation.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you in the middle of the council meeting. Thank you, Mayor Sam Adams, and all the commissioners for this opportunity. And let me just introduce myself. My name is Hideki Kato, president of the Tokyo Foundation, and which is a think tank and has been organizing in partnership with Portland State University for the training program, which he mentioned for the municipal officers. And I thank you all to the city of Portland to provide very many good materials for that informative and rewarding programs. Particularly, I thank to the Dan Vizzini, Mr. Dan Vizzini, who has made a lot of effort to make a program very fruitful one. City of Portland, needless to say, is famous for its long tradition to integrate the citizens' feedback to the policy making procedures. And from my experience of working in the government and working in the field of policy making, I think our current democracy system is in the turning point. I haven't got enough time to talk more about that, but if I give just one example, in the new Japanese government started, in Japanese it's called Jigyo Shiwake. It's a thorough examination of the public spending programs, one by one, in the entirely open public, which has been done in many municipal governments. Already it's in more than 100. It's very widespread and prevalent. So from these in mind, I think we can and should learn a lot from the Portland way. And I believe that the keyword of the 21st century democracy is the face-to-face democracy. I think in particular the national level, our democracy system, including Japan and many EU countries, it's too big, too complicated, and too far from the ordinary citizen. Finally, let me express my deep and sincere gratitude to all citizens of the city of Portland, to the great and the generous support to the victims of the earthquake and the tsunami hit the northern Japan. And through these, I really feel that we are neighbors across the Pacific, and I feel very happy to say that feel proud that of the friendships between us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Anyone else like to add anything? Well, we too want to express our continuing concern for the victims and those that have survived the earthquake and the tsunami. We feel very connected to Japan. It is one of the oldest relationships that this city has with Sapporo, and we're very grateful for it. We also, through the great work of Portland State University, look forward to learning from you. I'm especially interested in what you described in terms of going through line item by line item, and so I'll follow up with Mr. Keesley. Thank you.
Mayor, if I may, I want to thank you for bringing the delegation here. Commissioner Fish and I both had the opportunity to speak with them yesterday, and I felt very connected to these government workers from Japan sharing our challenges of trust with our citizens and including our citizens in making decisions. So it was wonderful that you have brought them here to share their knowledge with us as well as asking our advice, and we appreciate that very much.
Thank you. All right, Sue. Can you please read the?
Do you want to? Do you want to? Do you want?
Can
Can we do a
yes
presentation?
Absolutely.
Ceremony.
I don't know how. Thank you.
Maybe get this for photographs.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
Oh wow. It's a papier mâché.
Come on in. Come on over. Let's go this way, and I'll get a nice picture.
I think about this. He will.
Mascot.
And it's the pride
for traditional.
Japanese traditional mascot. It's pride. It's to pray the better future.
Wonderful.
Take a picture. Take a picture.
Okay, one more. Yeah, get in.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty. One, two, three.
Great.
Thank you
very
much. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. All right, Sue, can you please read the title for report item number 800?
800. Accept proposed improvements to public works development review and permitting services.
So I turn it you, Commissioner
I'll
Dan Salzman.
I'll turn it back to you guys. Well, thank you, Mayor. Bureau of Development Services, Paul Scarlett and his team. I'm happy to
point out. Is it Wild Shirt Wednesday?
It's Hawaiian Shirt Day at the Bureau of Development Services. We're having an ice cream social in the afternoon, and there's an Hawaiian shirt contest.
Where is yours?
Well, I figured since I'm at council, I couldn't quite do that. Yeah, later.
Okay.
Definitely. Sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, I'm pleased to introduce this. For a while, at least a couple years now, I think, the Bureau of Development Services has been co-located with in the 1900 building, and we will make a very short presentation, and hopefully council will hear from some of the citizen members who've been part of this effort to provide better services in our public works processing. It was April of 2009, City Council, under the leadership of both Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams, did this co-location and to implement a comprehensive set of improvements to Portland's development review and permitting services focused on the public works process. We've had many updates and taken council action multiple times as they've continued to refine and develop this process. And I'd love to offer Commissioner Leonard or Mayor Adams the opportunity to make any opening remarks. No? Okay.
I'll make some closing remarks.
Okay. Well, then we'll turn it over to Bureau of Development Service Director Paul Scarlett.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you, Commissioner Salzman. Good morning, Mayor Adams, and Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Salzman. Very happy and proud to be back today to report on the Public Works report and its improvements over the last couple of years and recommendations. I think just by order of presentation, quickly I'll just sequencing wise, I'll do an overview. Andy will follow up with some detailed information that supports the recommendation. We'll have the directors from Transportation, Tom Miller, BES. Dean was here, had to leave, so Lana will represent Dean and BES. And Water, David Schaff is here. And I think Sukil was going to try to make it. After that, we'll have comments and remarks from user groups, public works user groups. Dave Humber is a member of that group. And then Public Works Appeals Panel, and Citywide Land Use Committee member Simone Goldfeder and DRAC member Don Geddes, if they're still here, will also make some remarks. So a lot of work has gone into, and energy and time has gone into improving the public works processes and improvements. It goes without saying that this has been a very in-depth, extensive collaborative process. The work has paid off, and since 2009, April, there has been progress. Progress has been made. The work related to improving the predictability, the certainty related to review timelines, appeals processes, and permit fees and SDC charges tied to the public works, I would say, has been evident in its improvements. I do want to thank you, Mayor Adams, for listing this as one of the initiatives when you first took office as mayor in January 2009. I know that was one of the things you wanted to see as improving city services. Certainly, to Commissioner Leonard, who was also assigned this responsibility as part of BDS commissioner, and through his leadership and support, and of course, strong commitment and resolve that we will find a way to get this done. And I know there's been strong support on the council to see this through. So I'm very excited and happy that I'm reporting back to you with a positive result. As Commissioner Salzman indicated before, I was charged as the BDS director to come back to council with a recommendation. And the recommendation essentially was whether we should continue as co-location or consolidation. Consolidation was initially one of the aspects of how improving city services with public works and regular review could be achieved. Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams can recall that this came with a lot of objections, challenges, and we stood firm and worked together and did pursue co-location. That was supposed to last for about a year, year and a half. Last year, July, given the downfall in the economy, a very small amount of projects had actually come in to be reviewed through these improvements. So we asked for another year till now, to further monitor and study how these improvements and changes could be tested and to see if the results, were consistent with what we wanted. And so it is by way of the analysis, though the economy hasn't picked back up to full strength. Just for example, 3-4 years ago, we used to have, or there used to be about 80 public works projects annually. In the last couple of years, it's only been about 72. And the small number doesn't dismiss what we have concluded through assessment, that there has been enough improvements, there has been enough changes in the review processes, the fee, permit fees. And so without hesitation, and this comes with a lot of analysis and assessment, I am proud to conclude that co-location should remain the way of co-locating staff from public works bureaus with BDS staff in the 1900 building, and not to pursue consolidation, as was one of the options that was entertained before. The conclusion reached is that the public works development review and permitting staff, the including permit review timing, fees, inter-bureau coordination are evident and provide the basis for this recommendation. I know the time will come, but I'll say now that I do humbly ask that Council accepts the submitted report with its recommendation as complete and allow for the Public Works Bureaus to pursue the work outlined as next steps and report back to Council on continued work plan efforts and accomplishments. This would effectively result in BDS being removed as the lead in facilitating and monitoring the public works improvements from here forward. This is something I support and have no objections. Andy Peterson, as the lead manager from the beginning, has done a marvelous job in facilitating, coordinating, and working with the other bureau staff and the public in reaching some of these improvements and recommendations. A lot of people worked on this initiative, and we had outside and inside staff and customers, and it was very collaborative, something I'm very proud of. I do want to recognize some key individuals who were very instrumental in this initiative as well. They're here in the audience, Christine Leon from PBOT, Lana Donahue and Dan Vizzini from BES, Cindy Dietz from Water. And fire was part of this process initially, but due to, I believe, SORN officer concerns, gone. However, the processes does involve fire to some degree, and of course, it's part of the review process. Parks is also play a smaller role, but Parks has SDC charges, and that's part of this initiative, so they're also part of, to be recognized as well. And the respective directors of those bureaus, I do want to thank them for their support and cooperation in this project. And Kim Tellett, who I understand has been ill for the last 2 days, was nice enough to make it here and to be supportive of part of this project. She worked diligently and over the years in generating quarterly reports for directors, I believe, the council to see the progress and also in process mapping the improvements of the public works initiatives. Andy is going to go through a slideshow that will cover some milestones, directives, and next steps of the public works initiatives. After Andy, directors from the bureaus will, public works bureaus will come up, and then the our customers that are part of the appeals and public works group will make some remarks. More than happy to answer questions now or after the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for your good work. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Andy Peterson, Bureau of Development Services. The initial directives, as has been touched on back, were developed in April of 2009, with the primary focus being on the co-location of programs and personnel from the infrastructure bureaus necessary for the review and issuance of all development-related permits. The focus was on getting those programs and people in a common location with the adjacencies to enhance the work that was being performed and improve the timelines that the customer service delivery and timelines of those reviews. Standard timelines, creating and setting out timelines that were agreeable to the customers as well as to staff, and allowing those timelines to help drive the review process for all permit application reviews, code appeals, and other associated services provided by those infrastructure bureaus. Developing a integrated public works permitting process within our permitting system has occurred and was part of this effort. Work on that continues. We did establish one of the directives was for a predictable fee schedule for permits and associated services by the infrastructure bureaus, as well as developing a formal appeals process, again, for those interagency partners. On the private development side, the charge was to develop a standardized SDC program that would provide a uniform approach to SDC low-income waivers, SDC deferrals, and SD financing terms, which had been developed rather independently for amongst the bureaus that were charging SDCs. As of, again, April 2009, we were given those directives to move forward on. As Commissioner Saltzman has mentioned, we have been back a number of times to council to provide updates and get support from council as we moved forward through the program improvements. In July and September of 2009, we had program proposals that were addressing the directives adopted by council. In December, we had ordinances adopted by council related to the public works fees and creating uniform SDC terms and deferrals. All of the necessary interagency partners at that time had moved and co-located to the 1900 building. It was a total of 29 new staff moving there, adjoining 10 staff that had already been in the 1900 building, for a total of 39 to roughly 40 folks that moved up to the 1900 building. In January of 2010, we did implement the new public works permitting process. Happened to coincide with a fairly dramatic downturn in the economy, but did give us time to do a soft rollout and move our customers into the new process. In June of 2010, we did implement the new public works appeals process. June 29th of this year, we did, after a year or a period of use of that appeals process, we did go back and make some improvements to the code that was there that had been implemented, changing the time frame in which appeals could be submitted from what had been a relatively short 15-day window to now up to a year within the process. Today, we're back to just provide this brief update on the directives and the responses to those, highlight some of the tasks to accomplish over the next year, and have, again, Director Scott make his recommendation on the consolidation co-location decision, determination, or recommendation. Back to the directives on co-location, as Paul has said, the co-location has proved to be to have worked. We have staff in the 1900 building from the interagency partners. The change has resulted in increased efficiencies just through that adjacency of staff and their proximity to one another, as well as the greater communication that stems from there, as problem-solving issues are being started earlier, they're responsive, there's not any lag between development review and getting the permit reviewed and communicated about. There is some transparency, or more transparency and predictability, in the decision-making process, as well as defining the requirements associated with the public works improvements. Establishing the timelines and the process improvements for the public works permits has been successful and completed. Timelines are being met by the review groups of those public works agencies at a very high rate, nearing 90 to 95% of all permits that are being submitted. This is probably one of the significant improvements of the program, is that previously, there weren't timelines necessarily associated with those reviews. Staff and our applicants have become aware of the need for those. They've developed these timelines, and they're meeting them with the workflow that's coming in. With the high percentage of completion on those permits, the staff has really come to the forefront and done a great job to make these things work. The customers are quite pleased in the responsiveness of staff to these timelines as well. There's a predictability to that they appreciate. Roughly the time frame from these permits being in for review for city time has dropped from 20 weeks down to 11 weeks overall of time within the city, which is a huge improvement. As everybody knows, time is money, and the continued momentum of these projects as they move through the process is key. We are still refining the process for some smaller projects, to smaller types of projects, to see if we can reduce timelines and costs associated with those. It's a continuous improvement type of effort that's going on, and looking for new and innovative ways to make these permits go through the system more cleanly, smoothly, faster, depending on the type of project that it is. The integration with our regular permitting system, TRACS, has, as everybody I think is aware, we are looking at a new permitting system. There's been some kind of a restart on that program at this point. We are looking and working diligently to make sure that the permitting system for both private development and public works development will be integrated into this new system, operating well and providing the monitoring and reporting needs for both public works and private development permits. So as time goes on into the next year, the work plan will be to develop those permit process mapping tools so that we can make sure and get those integrated into the new system. The public works appeal process has been implemented. The goals of having a single contact point and a coordinated review by the public works agencies, as well as a timeline in which those public works appeals are heard, has been met. What we have found, and it was a rather innovative move by the interagency group to include public members in the appeals panel level of the appeals process. There's some frustration with how do we make the best use of that skill set that's there. That process is being worked on, will continue to be worked on over the course of the next year. It's part of the work plan for all the interagency partners. And they are committed to make sure that the public participation in that appeals process continues and is fostered. We just have to find the right way to make it work within the codes of what we're developing in the right-of-way, which eventually does become owned and maintained by the city, by the citizens of Portland. So we want to make sure that works right. But we're exploring new options and other alternatives on how to do that. On the systems development charge side, the creation of uniform policies for exemption, deferral, and financing of the SDCs has been accomplished. It was implemented. It's being used by the development community. We continue to push out the public information to our customers and our users, and we are, again, continuing to develop outreach tools so that we get that word out to all users, and it's available for them to see, and it's a seamless process for them to use. As we change these processes and move forward with the improvements, the goal is always to involve the public in that process, involve our customers in that process, and then make sure that we get the word out to those to the rest, the balance of our customer group, so that there is a kind of an uptick in the use of these tools that are available to everyone. Work plan for 2011 and 2012 over the next fiscal year. Again, continue to develop the correct balance for cost and time, as well as an easy entry point for the Public Works permit customer. The improvements that we've seen in the Public Works process have been driven by early and often communication with our customers on their Public Works projects, meeting with them and getting the standards and requirements set out early, meeting and discussing with them often what they need to do to get that Public Works permit through the process, meeting at 30, 60, 90, and 95% design development, so that when it comes in for final permit review and approval, we've got everybody on the same page as how we're going to get this project through and out the door and meet city standards and requirements. Again, develop on the Public Works process, appeals process. Again, we're going to continue to work on the appeals process and incorporate the public members in that, continue to develop that program. It works for entry process and time frame. The decisions that are being made based on the code that's in effect is working. It just doesn't allow us to look at alternatives or exceptions to what's being proposed via the code, and how to best get a feedback loop in there through alternatives analysis or exception analysis, and be able to get that to the right decision makers or the right code writers to be able to make those improvements or a way to approve those improvements through the regular process. Refining the fee structure for public works permitting, we continue to have a relative shortfall of public works permits coming in. Those that have moved all the way through the process, roughly 19 or 20 of them have moved all the way through the process of the 72 that have been submitted. It's a small inventory of projects. It does give us some fee structure to work with. We continue to refine and hone our estimates on how the fees should look, and continue to work with the customers on what information they need at the stages of their development program. This is, again, an area where more work will be done over the next year to refine those fees and the fee estimating process. Public outreach, again, is a major function of what we're trying to do and keep the public as well as our customers informed. There's been website improvements made, so you can see Public Works inquiries on Portland Online. You can see Public Works permits in our online tracking system. It's getting more and more of that information out to the public that's involved with the improvements in the right-of-way near to their home, business, or routes that they travel. And again, reporting trends and analysis, getting integrated into the computer system will help speed that flow of information, but we do have staff working, collecting data, analyzing it, and measuring where improvements can be made or at least explored, what trends we're seeing. Perhaps there's a new market or a new development that's being proposed over and over again that we can streamline, whether it's improvements for stormwater swales, whether it's improvements for different types of pavement or different lengths of public improvements for infill properties. We can look at perhaps ways of making those flow through the system more easily or more on a standard path. Over the course of the next year, we would recommend, and I think in the work plan it contains, again, quarterly reporting out to some of our public groups, including the user group, as well as reports coming to council, semi-annual meetings with our planning and development directors, which have brought them into the fold more, seeing what work is going on in this arena, as well as the full Development Review Advisory Committee and the Public Users Group, and then an annual report back to council to provide an update on where the work plan has taken the program at this point, from this point to completion in the next year. I would second Paul's thanks to council for their support as we've worked through this, as well as the my counterparts in the other bureaus, Christine, Lana, and Cindy. They've done a great job. Dan Vizzini was beneficial. He lent a lot of history and skills to this whole group, as well as Kim Talent has filled that role for us at BDS in providing a guiding light in some of the instances as we've had conversations regarding some of these improvements. With that, I'd open it up for questions, or if Director Scarlett has any other closing comments.
Not at this point. I'd welcome my colleagues to come up, Tom Miller, David Schaff, and Lana Danaher from BES.
Could I just ask a clarifying question? Did I hear you say that BDS isn't going to be the lead anymore?
That's correct.
Which bureau is?
Collectively, all of the Public Works Bureau would be.
Oh, okay, so it'll be a team thing.
Yes, because we're not.
What a great concept.
That's why I'm happy to be presented today.
Wonderful, thank you.
I've been happy to support it, but we don't mind handing off.
Good morning. Who would like to go first?
I think I'll go first. Good morning, Mayor, members of City Council. For the record, Tom Miller, Director of Bureau of Transportation, City of Portland. At its core, this process is about collaboration. It's about not what's right for Bureau X or Bureau Y. It's about what's right for the applicant, right, for the customer, if you will. That's what Commissioner Leonard and the rest of you charged us to do. And again, you've heard that years of work have gone into this. We're continuing to improve, and we've got good examples that I want to leave you with here today. So again, you saw the overview. You heard the overview of the work that's been done. I thought I would complement that with a real-world example of the improvement that this effort has brought forth to the city. The Broadway Recovery Center is a project at the northwest corner of Southwest Broadway in Burnside. That's a central city concern project. That's a project where, our process provides every applicant with a guaranteed not-to-exceed number in terms of the cost of permitting. And in that project, we were able to return $3,000 or 17% of total anticipated permit cost back to the applicant. Particularly for a project like a central city concern project, we feel really proud that we were able to bring money back into the project itself, back to an entity like central city concern. But again, that approach, that guaranteed not to exceed permit ceiling, if you will, applies across the board. And again, that's multi-bureau. That's complicated to work out, but it's our commitment. And again, that's a real world example of our ability to do that. In that project, notwithstanding the fact that we were able to return $3,000 or again, 17% of anticipated permit cost back to the project midstream through the design process got a grant which changed the project scope a little bit. And, of course, when project scope changes, the permit process needs to be looked at again, and oftentimes our ability to ultimately permit can slide as well. The timeline can slide as the project scope can change. Again, here, I'm proud to say on behalf of all of us that we were able to stick to the original timeline, notwithstanding the scope change. Gertie Edelin, the developer, was able to, in partnership with its applicant, of course, Central City Concern, was able to secure a grant, a 1% for green grant, which is going to bring some sustainable stormwater practice to the project. And we were able to ensure that the timeline on the project did not slip at all. We're proud of that. Dave Humber is here. He deserves the lion's share of credit for making that happen. And more broadly, on behalf of my team at the Bureau of Transportation, I want to give a shout out to Chun Wong, Christopher Weir, Kurt Kruger, Mark Fisher, and of course, Christine Leon. This is an ongoing process. We'll be back next year. I hope to cite an even better example of the work that we're doing collaboratively to make this as customer-friendly as possible, the permit process, to ensure that it's as good as it can be. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Water Bureau. I'd just like to echo Tom's comments. As Paul and Andy said, this has been a lot of work that has gone into this project. We've made a lot of changes. We have seen improvements. There is still work yet to be done. So for the last over 2 years, we've been working very closely with our colleagues sitting in front of you here today and all of our staffs to improve the public works development review process as well as the permitting process. I think the co-location idea was brilliant, and we were not particularly happy about it at the beginning.
I remember.
Yeah, I did too.
That's putting it nicely.
So I thought I should acknowledge that.
That's very big of you.
I think it's been a very good idea.
The term insubordinate, David.
Yeah, it's very big of you.
That may be an HR matter.
We've worked hard on getting fixed costs, predictable costs. Your predecessor used to do that to me too, Mayor.
I know.
And we still have work to do on the appeals process. So I just want to say that on behalf of the Water Bureau, we're very excited, and we think a lot of work has been done. We still have work to go.
Ms. Danaher. What?
Lana Danaher, Bureau of Environmental Services. I'm channeling Dean today. I think that the last 2 years has been a remarkable, in my long career in the city, I haven't seen very many examples of successful collaboration between the bureaus the way that I've seen this. We've made remarkable improvements. I think we, in this last year, we have cemented a working relationship between the three bureaus, especially that work on a daily basis, that's been pretty astonishing. We have a lot more to do, and I hope that everyone will understand that this work is not done, that this is something that is a fluid thing. We've established a way of being more nimble to work collaboratively with our customers in the design phase of projects, and I think that that is an innovative approach that bears more work.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. Anyone else signed up?
Two more.
Oh, we have two more.
Dave, if you'd come up, please. And Don Gaddis. And is Simone here?
Yep.
Simone. Wonderful.
Who would like to go first?
Hi.
I guess that's me. I'm Dave Humber with MGH Associates, and I'm here representing the PWP user group. And you've all recently just put me onto the DRAC committee, whether you know it or not. And I've been working with Lana and Christine Leon and the various bureau groups for probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. And would say definitely as a user of the new PWP process, things have improved. And I think the key word, frankly, is really predictability. And as an engineer serving the developers in the community, unpredictability is a risk management issue for developers, and it's difficult for them to get things to work, and it's difficult for us as consultants to establish fee proposals and adequately get these guys through and permitted. So predictability, I think, is the big win over the last 2 years, predictability and knowing what the fees are now, by you guys setting them up front at the 30% level. Predictability in the timelines is a huge win from what we have seen in the past. And then I would also say that I think there is still more work to be done, and I definitely look forward to working with the bureau groups during the 2012 year plan on the items that still need to be worked on. And I guess lastly I'll say, make sure I get the memo next time about the Hawaiian Shirt Day, because obviously I didn't get it. thank you for your support and placing me on the DRAC committee. I look forward to serving on that.
Simone?
It's Simone. I'll let you go.
Hi, good morning. My name is Simone Goldfeder, and I am the representative, the public representative through the Citywide Land Use Group on the committee. I'm also, just brief background too, because I kind of wear some different hats sometimes depending on kind of what's before us. So I'm also with the Swirl Neighborhood Association on their board, as well as the representative for Swirl on Sweeney, the Neighborhood Coalition's board. In addition, I'm an architect and a small business owner here in the city. and I work a lot with various neighborhood groups as an advocate and in helping and better inform them about the kind of land use process as well, specifically. So they have a clearer voice or a more directed and kind of precise